Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
So glad to be with you wherever you are in the world, and this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And the Lord tells us to rejoice, and we have a lot to rejoice about. God is alive and well. Jesus is alive and well. And, you know, it always astounds me how he gets the gospel into places that are totally against it, and yet it's preached. And I was just, I just heard how a pastor that I know, he was in an area that was heavily Muslim, and there's a college there. Man, they let him come in there and give the gospel out for hours right in the heart of this area. And people heard the gospel, so nothing can stop it. Somebody can, they can have a dictator that's been fighting against God all of his life, and suddenly he turns around like Castro did and allows the Bible to be put up, because God controls their thinking. And even though they're against him, yet when he wants to do something, he just turns the wheels in their brain that night, and all of a sudden they turn around, because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has all power in heaven and earth. And of course, he controls the whole universe and runs the stars within seconds, and they tell time by that. And a Father God like that has the power to keep his words. And he told us that he did, and he would keep it. And that's what this program is all about. And we have his words in the authorized King James Bible. And the Bible says we can look at the perfect law of liberty. And people say, why they think that this, we have a translation today, it's perfect. Because God says we can look at the perfect law of liberty, and the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And their God is not big enough to fight his way out of a paper bag, but our God is God enough, strong enough and powerful enough to control the very stars in the heavens of the earth. And therefore, he can keep his words. And so, thank God we have it today. But before we get into our subject, we have our scientist in residence give his report on science and the Bible.
Well, thank you, Bruce, and good to be back again today. And just wanted to mention, of course, as well, that people can check out the webpage at whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And you can find some more information about Bruce Musselman there and his program, as well as some recorded programs there, past programs. And there's some other materials available there that Bruce has put together and done in the past, his article on correcting the King James Bible. There's some places there where Bruce is singing and teaching on church history and different things. And so I think you'll enjoy that, as well as some of his resources that he mentions from time to time. That's whereisgodsword.com. So I encourage you to check that out. And I wanted to mention something here today. And you know, when you go through this and we look at some of these things from time to time, there are things that we mention, and we kind of review some of them from time to time as well. And in the book of Job, chapter 26, there's a statement here where Job is talking about God, and he says, he in verse number 7, he stretcheth out the north over an empty place, and hangeth the earth upon nothing. And he goes on to talk about some more things about the earth and things like that, but I just wanted to touch on the one thing right there where he says he hangeth the earth upon nothing. And you know, in Job's day, if you were a scientist, you would have believed that the earth was supported. It was a large disc supported on the back of some giant elephants that in turn were standing on the back of a giant sea turtle. And that turtle was swimming through the abyss of the universe. And because they couldn't understand how something could be supported on nothing. And yet the Bible plainly says that God has hung the earth upon nothing, which means there's no wires, there's no sticks holding it up, there's no shelf that it's on. It's not on the back of elephant standing on a turtle swimming through the abyss of the universe. It is literally hung upon nothing physical, but it's the forces of gravity that keep the Earth in its place. And we see that all the various stars and planets and things that we have in the universe are kept in their position actually through forces, not materials, but forces, the force of gravity. And also there's the centrifugal forces, things revolving and everything, holding them in their orbit, keeping them from falling. When something's orbiting, it's actually circling fast enough that it doesn't fall in to the Earth. And so we look at this. The Earth is hanging on nothing. The gravity of the sun, the gravity of the other bodies of our solar system all impact the Earth and keep it in its position. And that's an amazing statement. How could Job have known, one of the oldest books in the Bible, how could he have known that the Earth was literally supported on nothing? And just simply the forces that God created in this universe that keep the Earth in its place. And that shows God must have known what he was talking about to give this insight to Job.
Thank you very much, and that's good report again. And I saw that picture from some kind of a video from outer space showing the Earth in this beautiful, great big ball sitting there right. in a black space on nothing, just sitting there. It's amazing, amazing sight to see. And it's by the power of God. You know, they talk about gravity, but I really wonder if they, I know they talk about it, the pull of the moon and the star and the sun and all that stuff, but I wonder if they really understand it.
No, actually, they don't understand gravity. Gravity is the name for the force that God created that he uses to hold things in their places, but we really don't understand it. We don't know what causes it,
well,
other than God.
Yeah, the Bible says it's the Lord Jesus Christ
right.
upholds all things by
the
word
of his power.
Exactly. And that's our God's powerful, and you can just see it all the time. And so he has the power to give his words, and we thank God we have his words today. And the Lord Jesus says, Jesus said this, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words." Now listen, how can we be ashamed of his words unless we have them? And he puts him and his words together. It's always in the Bible that way. You accept Christ, you're accepting his words. You receive him as Lord and Savior. That means you receive the scriptures, the word of God as your Lord and Savior. And we have people that understood this, and I thank the Lord. We had our first president, George Washington, and even the presidents today, they show where the authority is, because when they swear allegiance to the Constitution, they put their hand on the authority of a King James Bible. So far, I'm always wondering if Trump's going to do the same thing, you know. But so far, I think every one of the presidents put their hands on a King James Bible. That's the authority. Receiving Christ is receiving his word. And we've mentioned this many times, but all the places in the Bible tells us so much about the word of God. And every one of them applies to the King James like a laser beam. They don't all apply to the other translations. The Bible says, "Heaven and earth shall pass; my word shall not pass away." Well, every other translation just comes and goes. You know, there's 200 of them that come and go. This one, the Authorized King James, goes on because it is the word of God. And it says, "Be ashamed of him and his words." And I think of it today. You know, if you're a preacher today and you believe what we're saying, you believe you have the words of God, don't let other preachers back you down. Listen, you have a lot of people that made a stand for the King James that were great men of God, that were, I mean, they took no bones about it. They were as clear as they could be, and they took a stand for the King James Bible as the words of God, and they did not back down. D.L. Moody, study his writings and you'll see. And he says, for Christian unity, keep the Bible as it is. And he was talking about the King James. For Billy Sunday, who had over 120,000 converts in New York City at a crusade there, he states that if scholarship disagrees with the Bible, meaning the King James Bible, scholarship goes plumb to the devil. You have Charles Spurgeon, who said that anybody, the people that corrected, or he called them popelings, corrected the King James Bible, and says good enough for us, you know. And you go right down to Chuck Smith, that just recently passed away, and he had the revival that among the hippies, and he was a King James man. He always preached it and read it. Never heard him correct it, and so. You know, they were not ashamed of it. And now today, one of the best preachers on the radio today, Pastor Andy Rusnacko, that is from Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, he doesn't back down on it. He says every week, we believe it's the preserved word of God. And so you need to take a stand. And Jesus said in his day, he said that people... many of them, they didn't follow him because they loved, the Bible says, they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And he says, because you receive honor from one another, therefore you cannot hear my words. And today, there's so many preachers been trained by these corrupt Greek departments. They receive honor from one another, and so they cannot hear the truth. I hear stuff on the radio right along. And before I go on, though, I want to mention this before I forget it. You know, if you're interested, I have a tract that I just received. And I picked it up at Brother Rusnacko's church from Bible Baptist Temple. And boy, I'm going to send for it. And I'll send it to you if you send me an envelope with your name and a self-addressed envelope in there. And I'll put this tract right in the envelope and mail it back to you. And it gives many of the scripture verses, key scripture verses, that have been tampered with these modern counterfeit Bibles. And it says, how to recognize a counterfeit Bible. Now, if you we have people listening to this program by the tens of thousands from every kind of language in the world, every country in the world. Now, most of the most of your countries have translations that line up with the King James Bible, but the Bible societies are putting out corrupt translations now. And so if you get this and you understand English, we'll mail it to you wherever, but you put a self-addressed envelope with the stamps on it, and we'll mail it to you wherever you are in the world, and you can check your Bibles in whatever language with the English text that is on these tracts. How to recognize a counterfeit Bible. And this will be, this can be a help to you, and it'll show you the verses and how these verses have been changed. Now, you know, some people still can't see that this is an issue today. And it's an issue because you take the New American Standard perversion, they call it Bible or version or something, but it's a perversion. And I was listening on the radio the other day to Moody program. And this guy was on there. It wasn't the guy that was a host of the program, but somebody else was on there. He says, well, I like a new ASV because it is very accurate with the originals. Al's shaking his head. This is such a bizarre statement. You know, if you've ever studied this subject, that's the problem. These people are talking, bloviating, and they don't have any idea what the facts are. Number one, nobody has the originals, no matter how many times they say that. They're not in the museum in Washington. They're not in a museum in London or Paris or any place in the world. Nobody has the originals. If they did, they wouldn't recognize them if they had them, and they wouldn't know that they had them. You know, so let's get away from that statement. And then sometimes they usually say the Greek says, you know, and there's as many Greek texts as Carter had liver pills, you know, little liver pills. It's just, you know, they get on there, make these statements. So he says it's most accurate to the originals. Well, the new ASV comes from Nestle's Greek text, the 23rd edition, and is based on the post-Vatican Bible put out by Constantine. And the guy that helped him put it out was Eusebius of Caesarea, who is a follower of Origen. Origen lived between 185 and 254. And to make the Bible acceptable, because the Bible says the Word of God is not based, it's not in philosophical words, you know, but it's in the words that the Holy Spirit giveth us. So It's in just plain Koine Greek, and every Greek professor will tell you that right away. It's changed into classical Greek. And that's why if you study so-called textual criticism, which they call scientific, that's preposterous. There's nothing scientific about it. Somebody just wanted you to follow the post-Vatican Bible, so they made up a bunch of theorems so that you would do that. I was just reading a book on that just recently. In fact, I'm still reading the book because I've been reading all sides for the last 30 years. So anyway, so they set this up so you read this Vatican Bible, you know, and the two ones they call oldest and best. Now, the devil could agree with that, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, and they disagree with each other 3,000 words in the Gospels, and they're called the eclectic text, mixed text. Now, where do we get our King James from? Well, on the day of Pentecost, it says, let's read it. Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. That's amazing right there to get a group of Christians in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it all filled the house where they were stirring. You know, sitting. You know, they have the resurrection of Christ happened one time. The death of Christ happened one time. The birth of Christ happened one time. And Pentecost happened one time. That doesn't mean we don't have the Holy Spirit today, but as it happened then, and it filled the house where they were sitting. So the rushing mighty wind came. That doesn't happen today. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, as it sat upon each of them. So on the top of their heads, they saw that something that looked like tongues of fire sitting there on their head. That doesn't happen today. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, here's the point. What was going on when they spoke in tongues? And they don't do that today, too, if you read this carefully. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Now, they were up there preaching, and everybody was there, and then there's a whole list of languages, and we'll read them, heard them speak in his own language. You know, if they had that today, an evangelist would go to a foreign country, and maybe at that country they had two or three different languages that they were speaking in that country, but it was different from what the evangelist was speaking. Everybody there would hear them in his own language. That's not hard to understand. You know, I've heard people say, well, the Bible messes up some very good messages, you know. Well, that's it, and it messes up some people's doctrines. It says every man heard them in his own language. They don't do that today. They have to have an interpreter there. But it was an automatic miracle that God did. Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and in the parts of Libya without Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Now, it says they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Now, they weren't amazed because everybody was speaking, but making a bunch of sounds, and it sounded like they were half out of their mind. No, they were amazed because everybody heard them in his own language in which he was born, and it mentions the languages. Now, Paul says he has the gift of tongues more than all. The apostles then had the gift of tongues, and when they spoke, people could hear them in their own language. Now, people today say in these Greek departments, they'll say, only the originals are inspired. Well, what about this? Were they inspired? Of course, they were inspired by the Holy Spirit, and who would deny it? They had the gift of tongues, and people heard them in their own language. So what did they do? Well, they were copied down, for crying out loud. They were copied down, and the Holy Spirit said he would preserve his words, so they were copied down, and so these translations were given to us by the Holy Spirit, and they came down to us over a long period until the year 1611. And in 1611, the King James translators had these languages on their desks, many of these languages that had come from the time of the apostles, and they had been translated, copied down, kept by the Word of God. And the Word of God says that they had the Word of God. Then the Word of God increased, and it mentions where it increased to in the book of Acts. Finally, it says the whole world heard the Word of God. Why? Because God had interpreted, translated it into the languages of the world. And so when you have a King James Bible, you have a translation of the apostolic tongues given to them by God and the apostles and preserved and kept by God, see? And so then it says, with men of other tongues will I speak to this people. So God speaks in other languages, and you have those languages all around the world. And that's not all. It says the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. So these words are purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And so we have them today in the Word of God. And you know, people are saying, well, what is it? You think you got a perfect translation? Right, you got it. That's what it's all about. James says we can look at the perfect law of liberty. We have a King James Bible, and we are looking at it. But where'd the modern ones come from? They came from Alexander, Egypt, and they're called the Alexandrian text, but they're not. They're a handful of less than 1% of the ancient manuscripts, and they're called the eclectic text because they all disagree with each other. Vatican, Sinaiticus disagree in 3,000 places. And so God has preserved his word, and we have it. The King James, and those preserved words, when they were translated, the word of God liveth and abideth forever. 200 translations come out, and they last about as long as the translators. And then they disappear. But you know, today, the King James continues on. And many outstanding people have taken a stand for it. Like I say, Spurgeon took a stand for it. Moody took a stand for it. Dr. Logsdon, who was pastor of Moody Church, he took a stand. Dr. Alfred Martin, who was a great scholar and wrote a book defending the King James. I had him as a translator when I teacher when I went to Moody Bible Institute, took a stand for it. And Jesus says, you shouldn't be ashamed of me and my words. You accept Christ, you're accepting his words. You accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Lord means he's the boss. How is he the boss? How does he tell you what to do? Through the words in the King James Bible. And why do we have these programs? Because the modern ones don't agree. And once again, I told you, I said, we will send out this track and you write to us. My name is Bruce Musselman, P.O. Box 609-238, Cleveland, Ohio. Bruce Musselman, P.O. Box 609-238, Cleveland, Ohio, 44109. Now, I know we're getting thousands of mail on the websites from all over the world. And so you can check this. If you know English, you can check it with whatever translation you have. And you got God's translations. You have in the Levitan, I believe that's the one in French, and the Valera in Spanish, and the Morrison in Chinese. All of these translations come from the true Word of God given to us by the apostles and carried on by God and translated into your languages. And today there's groups of people translating the Word of God from the received text and using the King James as the guide also. And it's being done, and they're being translated all over the world. And you want to get a true Word of God, a true text. Now, what is the difference? Well, 1 Timothy 3:16 says, God was manifest in the flesh, and the true Word of God come down to us in the received text. And, you know, if you're a preacher today, why don't you investigate? Some of you guys are up there bloviating on radio and television. You don't know what you're talking about. You turn that TV off. Here's a book you ought to read. Which Version is the Bible? Which Version is the Bible by Floyd Nolan Jones? And you ought to look this up and start and read something before you start to talk. This guy's highly educated, and yet you can understand it. And if you're a Christian, buy the book, read it. You can understand it, and then read it and give it to your pastor, because it's a very strong and powerful argument for the true Word of God. It's a fantastic book. And we invite you to read it. It has about 279 pages. God bless you. Thank God we have his word today. because it'll never pass away.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.